What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another installment of Crime and Wine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
My goddoggone wrist started itching as soon as you press record.
I see you were
Girl.
scratching it like a monkey.
But I'm around it because you know you can't scratch it.
I don't, mine doesn't itch.
You crazy as hell.
My the one up here is the only one that itches. And oh, we took a
We
week off.
talking about
We
tattoos.
got tattoos every the week that we were off. And everybody's complaining about itching, but mine doesn't itch. It's
My
just
shit itch.
one, the one I got on my shoulder does, but none of the rest do.
The one on my wrist itch, and oh, she going crazy. I had already mistakenly scratched it like three times, forgetting that it was there. So it's like I'll scratch with trying to get relief, but then it's just this mixture of oh fuck, and also that kind of hurt a little bit. Because you know, it's still not totally healed. If you hit it, scratch it, it's like, oh, wait a minute, a little bit of pain.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. I swear it's the worst part of a tattoo. I swear it is. Okay, but anyway, we did take a week off. We now have a new brother-in-law, which is
We
why we took
do. We took a
Sandy
week off
off.
because we had a wedding. Yes.
Yes, so we have a new brother-in-law. That's the reason you guys did not hear from us last week. Last week was when the chaos was happening. So yeah, but that's what that was. That's why we didn't just forget about you guys.
No, we still love
Just had
you,
to
but we did have to take a week
welcome the
off
new
to be with
brother-in-law.
family. And things of that nature, yes.
Right. That's it. But we're back. We're back. Okay. We are back, and we're recording this on a day that some people call a holiday, although you guys will hear it tomorrow.
Oh, I mean, it's a holiday for me.
It's a holiday for somebody. That holiday would be 420.
I'm comfortably elevated right now.
It's a holiday for somebody. Yeah, no.
And I have been all day. It's kind of been a thing.
A
But
lot
I've
of people
also been
on.
like running around the city all day, like going to openings and stuff. So why not?
Well, all right. Well, on that note, what you got going on over there? What you sipping on?
I am drinking. Okay, so I didn't actually purchase my own wine this week.
Oh, Lord.
So I have something called Route One.
ROOT, root.
Yeah. It says the original ungrafted. I don't know what that means, but it's from Chile. It's a Carmenere. It's a red, a complex red wine with flavors of ripe plum, blackberry, and spice. And it tastes like it.
That a bet? That sound like you weren't too excited about that.
I don't know where I'm landing with this one. The thing about it is, it's too heavy to be a sipping wine. Like, this is definitely not a wine you just sit and sip. It's far too heavy for that. It also feels too heavy for this time of year. And I think that's why it's hard. It's like harder for me to settle with it. Anything with spice automatically puts you in colder weather vibe
Yeah.
anyway. I just feel like it's too heavy for this time of year, and that's why I'm having a hard time with it.
Isn't it crazy the older you get, the more you understand that shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, cranberry? Don't even give me no cranberry. It is not November.
Yeah, no, it's just not, those flavors just don't make sense to me at this time. And
Oh, wow.
I think
That's not for me.
that's why I'm having a hard time with this one. It's like, one, you need food. Like, this needs to be with somebody.
Oh, that sounds too heavy as a sipping wine then.
It's far too heavy to be a sipping wine. Like, this isn't even like a charcuterie wine. Like, this needs a meal.
Oh, this is like
This
steak,
is very full body.
lasagna.
This needs a meal. This is very full bodied.
Well, the funny thing is, I have no idea how full body this may be because you guys, so I did a little something. You guys will be happy and I roll at the same time. So the I roll first. Of course, you know who it is.
It's Josh.
It's Josh.
Okay.
However, comma, it is not a white.
Mm-hmm.
It is Josh Hart Cabernet Sauvignon. Can I see? There you go.
So I have tasted that one because, fun fact, I met the owner of Josh Wines randomly like 2 weeks ago. It was like a super random chance encounter. And I ended up tasting it. So I've had that before.
I've never had this. So you guys are legitimately getting ready to get the first sip. Sometimes I lie, but this is legit. I just poured.
Sometimes I lie.
I mean, I might as well be truthful now.
Okay.
This is the first sip. What does it taste like? That looks like it has some kind of acidity in it, like bubbles. That is way lighter than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, good.
Like, way, way, way. It's good. Don't get me wrong. I do like it.
But that one is more of a, that one you can actually sit and sip or
absolutely
eat like a light snack. This one needs.
Absolutely can.
Like this one, if I had like a nice hefty pasta dish in front of me, this would be fantastic.
Not hefty. Okay, hefty.
No, I mean, like, this has to be like a manicotti, like a lasagna, like something lasagna with some weight to it.
I said lasagna or steak.
Yeah, this needs a meal with some weight. This needs something that you got to sit at your table for a second after you finish eating. Like, this needs something with some weight on it.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get into the story. So this story, guys, this one is going to be a little short. It's kind of, I'm not going to say weird. But now that I've looked
it's
at
fun.
Other things, now that I've looked at other things, I'm kind of like, I kind of understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When we get into it, I'll talk about what I'm, I'll let y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay.
And I just happen to know what it is because we talked a little offline. So I actually know this one. So today we're doing it a touch differently.
So what this was, is called, it's the Great Canadian Maple Syrup Ice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason I said now I understand, because I just saw a video not too long ago of someone tapping a maple tree.
Yes.
Now, I don't know shit about maple trees. I don't tap the damn things. I just
I
knew
tapped a maple tree before.
The crap that you're taught when you're little.
Yeah.
Or let me change that. The crap that's insinuated to you when you're little, you know? But when I seen that, I'm like, wait a minute. They going through all this just to get these little pockets in random spots on mm-hmm. this trip. Mm-hmm. That's why this shit costs so much.
Yes.
Yeah.
And see, even bigger than that, like, before we even get into why people want to steal maple syrup, one thing is really important to know. Maple syrup is one of Canada's top exports.
I get it.
And it's,
we were there, it was maple fucking everything.
Yes, it's one of Canada's top exports, and it's very tightly controlled and regulated. Like, there's a lot of permitting you have to get to tap trees. You have to, and then even with permitting, you can only tap at certain times of the year in certain areas. Like, it's super, super regulated. Which means anything that's regulated that heavy, you know, like just like I know, that means there's money there.
Right.
Which is why somebody would want to steal it, because there are people who've made millions of dollars off of tapping maple trees. But it's like a lot of them have kind of created these different organizations to kind of block out some of the smaller companies that may be out here tapping, so they're not making as much money. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of money in maple syrup.
Shit, bottle maple syrup is $17.
You're right. You're right.
It's good though.
It is.
When I make that chicken and waffle.
I mean, I don't eat chicken and waffles, but it's
yes, you.
Tasty.
Okay, so anyway, let's get to it. So the Great Canadian Maple Syrup Ice, this actually is not that long ago that this happened. I was gonna say you would think that it'd be a long time ago, but I wouldn't be surprised. It seems a lot more difficult to pull off any kind of robbery or heist in the now.
But the thing about this is, I think that I don't know, like, I know they tried to say like this was like the first time something like this happened. I don't believe that. I just think this was one of the most ambitious ones.
Well, these motherfuckers definitely ambitious.
I don't think it was the first time something like this has ever happened. I just think this was the biggest, so it got the most attention.
Well, this is what had happened, okay? So, in 1966, there's a group of maple syrup producers in Quebec that participated in a joint plan to collectively market the maple syrup. As she was just saying, you know, you gotta go through a lot of stuff to be able to tap maple trees. So this essentially, it inspired the formation of like a really large agreement across all of Quebec, which became known as the Federation of Quebec Maple Syrup Producers. Now, the reason we laugh is because the acronym in which they choose to use was FPAQ.
Yes.
Which now, makes sense. First off, there is no word that starts with A. That's the first thing. Second, Quebec is the second biggest, the second capitalized word.
Yes.
In the name of this thing, this makes no sense.
FPAQ makes literally no sense. Like,
it pissed me off so bad that I read the acronym and the actual name probably 5 times. I'm like, wait a minute, am I reading something wrong? Because I swore I didn't have dyslexia, but something is clearly not clicking in my head. But anyway, okay. So the FPAQ.
Mm-hmm.
They maintained a strategic reserve of maple syrup, officially known as the International Strategic Reserve, across multiple warehouses in Quebec. Now, it sounds to me like Quebec must be where all the damn maple trees are.
That is where a great deal of the maple trees come from. That's because it's the most favorable climate for them to grow, and they produce the most sap in that area.
Where did we go? Like, where were we when we were in Canada?
Niagara.
Excuse me. No, I know, like, Niagara was, like,
the city. Like what country is that in? Do you know?
Province.
That's what I meant. I genuinely don't know. I'm a little high. Hold on.
Ontario. That's okay. What it is.
That makes sense.
I'm sitting here, I'm like, huh, where is it?
That makes sense because Windsor is over Michigan. So yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, Quebec is where a lot of it's the most favorable climate for the trees. That's where a lot of the maple trees grow.
Well, all right. Okay. Well, so that's essentially kind of, I don't like the origins of everything. They started having this reserve and all that kind of stuff. So obviously if you have a reserve, that means there's a whole lot of shit stashed somewhere.
But the point of the reserve is so that they can control the prices because like maple syrup in Canada is like diamonds everywhere else. Right. They really like, they trick you into these high prices because they want you to believe it's limited supply, but it's really because it's like just really labor intensive to get it.
And not only that, it seems like it's not a lot of supply simply because you do so much at the beginning. So you have so much, so large of a surplus of what you actually need.
Right.
So that way, when you say, okay, the only time we can tap the trees is these 3 months. The only time we can mine for the diamonds is these 6 months. So it makes you feel like, oh shit, if I don't get it now, then I have to wait till next time.
There's that. And then there's also, cause you have 2 or 3 companies kind of holding a large stockpile. So they're drip feeding it into the market, which is also driving up the cost because there's this false scarcity that is always produced, and that you do see it a lot. That's why, like, if you're here in the States, you're paying $20 for like real maple syrup because it's the false scarcity that these larger companies create to drive the price up.
I wanted to bring home so much. We went to Canada, but because we were in Niagara, I brought home some. The thing is, because we were in Niagara, they know a lot of U.S. tourists go there. So they're it was still expensive. I needed to go to a random ass hole in the wall where everybody that live in Canada go. That's where I need to go.
Yeah, because it was still expensive. Yeah,
it was the same damn price. I'm like, shit, I'm all the cheaper here. It comes from here. But anyway.
I like wandered to a super random store when I was just kind of out by myself. So I found some a lot cheaper than what we were seeing in some of the places around our hotel. But yes, it's like, it's just, maple syrup is such a hot commodity there that there's a lot of like tricks and trades and stuff that they use to kind of keep the price up by drip feeding the market.
So now before we really get into all these names of all kinds of shit, I don't know if people know, some people do, some people don't, I'm sure. The second language in Canada is French.
Yes.
A lot of them speak French, and a lot of shit is in French.
Yes.
Simply because France used to be the right.
Colonized. Okay.
Yes. However, comma, Chanel don't speak no French. I took Latin in high school. So I'm either going to let Siobhan say it.
So random.
I'm not going to say it. You said what?
So random you said Latin, but go ahead.
And I took Latin?
Yes.
That's because remember, I wanted to be a doctor.
Still very random.
No, that aligns if you want to be a doctor.
Anyway, continue.
But anyway, okay. So over the course of a couple months, several months, shall I say, between 2011 and 2012, the contents of 9,574 barrels were stolen in a suspected inside job from FAPQ in a facility in Quebec. Now, 9,571 barrels is equivalent to about 18.7 million Canadian dollars.
Yes.
Which means in US dollars, a little bit more.
Now, and considering this is 2011, 2012,
you got to think about inflation as well as the conversion rate.
It's 18, what?
18.7 million. In 2012, Canadian dollars is what that is. So as she figures that out, so like I said, they were saying that they suspect this is an inside job from the FAPQ. I mean, in all honesty, something like that much, 9,000 barrels, that's almost 10,000 barrels of syrup. That has to be an inside job. There's no way I did that.
With current exchange rate,
inflation.
And I'm like current today, 18.7 million Canadian is 13.8 million US.
That don't make sense.
Why don't it?
Because it's like 95 cent or 98 cent US. I mean, Canadian is a dollar US.
Not currently, not at this moment.
Sorry,
right?
No. It's not true. Sorry, it's the other way around. My bad.
At this moment, not right.
Even back then, even when we went, you're right. No, I messed up. The other way around. My bad. So yeah, it will be less.
Yeah. So it's about 13.8 million US.
But it gotta be more than that by now. That was 20 years ago.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Current day, that's what it would be. Because it's like you're taking it, you just gave me a number. So I didn't like say 18.7 million 20 years ago. And then I didn't do all of that. Like, so 18.7 right now.
Whatever. It's a lot.
I'm not doing all that extra. All that. I'm not doing all that. It's fine.
It's a lot. But 18.
I can figure it out and give you the exact number because he was.
No, 13 million is a whole fucking lot, too.
It is.
But anyway, so yeah, they stole a whole lot. Like I said, 10,000 barrels is a lot. Is a lot of fucking barrels to steal. So the syrup was stolen stored in unmarked white metal barrels that were only inspected once a year. Now, obviously, something like that, that has to be an inside job. Who else would know it's only inspected once a damn year? So if you know that it's only inspected on July 26th, nigga, July 27th come around, I'm about to hit that shit because it ain't, they ain't coming back for a year. I could quit by then easily. So essentially what they did, the thieves used trucks to transport the barrels to a remote, this is funny, it's called a sugar shack. Because my hood rat ass thinks Sugar Shack and I think Stump.
Yes. Same.
But they were storing it, they transported it to the Sugar Shack, where they then siphoned off the maple syrup, then refilled the barrels with water. Now, I know people in the US, I can't speak for other countries. I can speak for Canada, because I've been there and had their syrup too. I know in the US, our syrup is thick and no one will be able to, no one's going to buy it if it's water replaced into the bottle.
I figured out the adjusted inflation rate, sorry.
Okay.
So 18.7 million in 2003 would be 28.3 million Canadian today. Which then translates to, one second, because it's on multiple different pages. Okay, hold on. Which translates to $21 million approximately, because it's like 20.96.
That's 21.
Yeah.
A lot of fucking money for syrup. But yeah, so back when I was saying, like, people in the US, I know for us, our syrup is thick. So you couldn't put water into our bottles and think, nigga, no, that ain't no damn syrup. But maple syrup is actually pretty damn
thin. Very thin.
It's actually pretty thin. Although maple syrup tastes good, it's not a smart idea to put on top of pancakes. Pancakes don't soak that shit.
Yeah, it tastes fantastic, but
it tastes good, but you can't put that on nothing that's super porous. You gotta put it on top of a waffle.
Yeah, you gotta. Girl, I mean, now you can put it on a pancake, let it soak it in. It's still gonna taste good, but just know you're not sopping up shit.
You about to have a wet ass pancake.
It's gonna be wet as hell, yes.
So anybody who thought like that's crazy for them to be able to put water in it, not really when it comes to maple syrup. It's not that far off.
Because I was actually surprised by how thin it was.
I was too. The first time I had it, I thought I had to shake it.
Actual maple syrup. I thought I was like, what the fuck's happening? I thought I ain't shaking it up.
I thought I had to shake it up like ketchup and mustard. You know how that vinegar
stuff. Me too.
Girl, I'm like, shit, what the heck? No, that's just how it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway. They siphoned the syrup out, put water back in it, and then took the barrels back to the facility.
Mm-hmm.
As the operation progressed, the thieves just started siphoning the syrup directly off barrels in the reserve without refilling them.
Yeah,
they're just like, fuck it, this is too much work. I'm just gonna take these
barrels and deal with it.
And y'all just gonna take these empty ass barrels. Like, I don't know what you want. This is too much. Essentially is what they said.
They did.
The stolen syrup was trucked to the, this is funny to say, the South, and the South is Vermont because I'm in the US.
Right.
And East, which is in New Brunswick. So they went South to Vermont and then East to New Brunswick. Okay. From there, it was trafficked in small batches to reduce the suspicion, obviously, you know, just like everything else, you can't have a large amount together. You gotta
moving around in small shipments to these little stores here and there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So then after they did that, what they would traditionally do with the syrup, and I'll say traditionally because, you know, the shit obviously is a hot ass commodity. They would traditionally actually just sell it to legitimate syrup distributors, and the syrup distributors didn't realize that it was stolen. They just
stolen ass syrup.
Then they were just doing what they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that was happening. They went ahead, did all that, sold it to different people, blah, blah, blah. So in July of 2012, the FPAQ took its annual inventory. That's funny. It happened to be July because I said July 26th or something. So they took their annual inventory of the syrup in July of 2012. The inspector started climbing up the barrels and almost fell.
Yeah.
Expecting a 600 pound barrel
to be full. And yes, movable.
Expecting that to fall, but then it was empty.
Mm-hmm. And like, that is the FPS thing rolling. As soon as your foot hit it, you about to kill your fucking self because it's supposed to be stuff in there.
So then the police came. The police later came and discovered that there was hundreds of barrels of syrup from. Hold on, wait. Sorry, they recovered, not discovered. They recovered hundreds of barrels of syrup from an exporter based in New Brunswick.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, that was one of the places they went. So between 18th and 20th of December of 2012, police ended up arresting 17 men related to. That's a lot of fucking people.
It is. So, it's a while to, like, imagine. The conversation in jail when they like, what you in for? You like stealing
making syrup?
I was stealing syrup.
And
like
liquid
that's
gold.
That's just a wild sentence. But maybe in Canada, they was like, you know what? That's the smartest shit you could have stole. Maybe that's what they think up there. Maybe this ain't that wild. Maybe that's you get hella respect for stealing the syrup.
It's wild for us. We ain't used to that shit.
It just sounds crazy as fuck. Like, I'm in here for stealing syrup. That sounds crazy.
That's funny. So again, I'm not about to fuck up these people's names. So I'm just going to say Richard. Richard was accused of being the ringleader. He was sentenced in April 2017 to 8 years in prison, plus a $9.4 million Canadian dollar fine.
That's still wild though.
That's crazy. With an extension of 14 years if the fine is not paid. How the hell he gonna come up with $9.4 million? Obviously, motherfucker ain't got
all the money. It's like y'all took all the money that we had left. Y'all took everything we got from this, but then like I gotta come up with $9 million to do another 15 years in this bitch. Like, what?
My ass, when I hear shit like that, I'll be like, nigga, how am I supposed to come up with that?
Like, I'm in jail. So you just set me up from the beginning, bitch, because I'm not even. Y'all pay me 13 cents a day. Oh. Y'all got me out here on like that sponsor a kid bullshit, paying me 13 cents a day to make these fucking gym shoes. Like, what am I supposed to. What?
Or like, what? Or if you don't just go ahead and add that 14 now,
allegedly.
Just go ahead and add the 14 years. I ain't got that. I got it. Like, I want to tell you.
Yeah.
In 2016, the Quebec Court of Appeals ruled that was excessive and lowered the fine to $1 million. The Supreme Court of Canada. Hold on. The Supreme Court of Canada reversed that decision in 2022. And reinstated the original fine.
But they like you thought.
No, nigga. Put it back. He owe us $9 million.
They said you thought. 18.
You think? Nah, homie. So the next person, Raymond, who is actually Richard's father, convicted of possession and was sentenced to 2 years in jail minus one day, followed by 3 years of probation. That's a big damn difference.
That's funny, though. 2 years minus one day. That's fucking hilarious. Cause that's the pettiest shit to ever pay somebody.
That's the petty shit that justice is to be on.
That's the pettiest shit to ever say to somebody. You getting 2 years minus one day. That shit is fucking hilarious.
Process my paperwork.
Right. They like, no, we're gonna no. I got it until tomorrow.
So the next individual, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce their name, but they were a New Brunswick-based syrup reseller. He was sentenced to 2 years in jail, minus one day, 3 years probation, and an $850,000 fine. Okay, next person.
That fine feels low to me.
Well, the other motherfucker got the 9.4. That's
I mean,
where everything
you're
is.
Right, but also what?
So the next individual, I'm thinking his name is Avik, A-V-I-K. I think I could try to pronounce that one.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
The insider whose spouse owned the FPAQ warehouse was sentenced to 5 years in prison plus $1.2 million.
He only got 5 years? Like, I feel like you should have got the most, but you opened the door.
But he wasn't the mastermind. You know, they love it's
but you opened the door, you let me in here.
It's like RICO in the US. We don't want you small peons. We want the people who are the person who really did this shit.
I mean,
because we
right,
don't really get them. Because if we don't really get them, then this is gonna keep going.
I mean, I hear you and I understand, but also if you the bitch I hired to guard the door and you open it and let somebody rob me, I'm throwing the book straight at your face. Like, what? I'm not playing games. We're not being easy. No, you're going to get hit in the head with this book.
You got 5 years and $1.2 million fine. Sebastian, who was a trucker involved in the transport of the stolen syrup, served 8 months in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a chance that he ain't know.
Is there though?
No, listen, this is what I mean when I say that. Even if you don't, you can know what's going on without knowing what's going on. It's like, I know I'm doing something illegal, but exactly what it is, I don't know.
Yes, you can know.
The less questions I ask,
is just like,
the more innocent I can pretend to be.
But can you say he didn't know? Because, yeah, you may not have known the full extent, but you knew some shit wasn't right. You knew
that's what I'm saying. Like,
so whether you knew the full extent or not, bitch, you knew you was breaking the law. So you still, I can't say you don't know. You knew you was breaking the law. You ain't got to know how the law being broke to know you do. You know
what I'm saying? But what the law is being broken can determine how far you're willing to go. Because it's like, okay.
But you ain't asked that question.
Hold on. But this is
so clearly
Okay, hold on. Because at this point, it's been a long ass time, and I feel like it could be said now. We may or may not have some people in our family that has or may not have kind of boosted some things. Also purchased boosted things. Now we know you can't buy this damn purse out the trunk of nobody's car, but I'm not going to ask no questions. I know you clearly got this in an illegal manner. And I know by me purchasing this from you, this is also illegal.
But that's what I'm saying. You ain't got to know how the sausage is made.
Wait a minute. That's a level of crime that I'm okay with being associated with. While if it's like you fucking going in here printing fake money, no, nigga, I don't want that though.
But if you take the money and don't ask no questions, then you're already saying like I'm okay with any and everything because you're not asking questions.
All he did was drove a truck. How we know he may not have gotten out the car. He may not have gotten out the front. Just sat there. He pulled
he
back.
Knew. Man, girl, he knew.
He knew he was doing something.
It don't matter whether you knew you was doing something or that thing. You knew illegal shit was happening, and you set your ass in the.
But it's different. It's different. No, willing, knowing that you're doing something, committing a federal crime, and thinking that you're committing a misdemeanor are two different things.
You willingly set your ass in there on this crime without asking if it's a felony or a misdemeanor. Like,
we disagree on that one.
Yes, man. We can disagree.
If I'm okay with a misdemeanor, but you tricked me into doing a felony, like, motherfucker.
This motherfucker wasn't tricked. He said, this bitch said, yes, I'm driving. He was not tricked. The fuck? Like, good boy, bro. Like, good boy. He trying to get that maple syrup money too. He was dread. He said, I volunteer as tribute. He was not tricked.
Well, I'm on his side.
I see.
Imagine I got your back.
Go.
But anyway, there's actually an episode on this on Dirty Money. On Dirty Money.
Which is where I first discovered this story. It was watching Dirty Money on Netflix is where I first discovered this.
And it looks like that is sounding something that I would watch. In 2022, Amazon announced it was actually developing a show called The Sticky, which is a half an hour comedy series based on The Heist. I'm going to watch that shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch that.
Yeah. That would be very funny if this comes out. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, so that is the story of the heist of the maple syrup, because Canada don't fuck around with their syrup.
They don't. The way they will lock your ass up. And like real life, I don't, just to reiterate just how real this is, tapping maple trees without proper permits is actually punishable by jail time. Like, it's like killing a swan in England. It's the same type.
Well, them damn ducks here.
What?
Them damn ducks that stop all the fucking traffic here.
What about them?
Kill one of those.
I don't know is there laws there? I'm confused.
Yeah.
I know nothing of this.
Yes. Be pissing me off. Damn things be stopping all the traffic.
But yes, it's the maple syrup is like, it's a very real, because it's like they're like major cottage industry. So they're literally protecting it at all costs. And I'm kind of surprised these people got off with as light of sentences as they did.
Well, that first person got a lot.
I'm surprised everybody didn't know. With the way that they go hard to protect this, I'm surprised everybody didn't get super long sentences.
Yeah, because that dude be facing up to 28 years in prison.
Yeah, like this means so much to them as a country. Mm-hmm. Like, I just can't, because they keep the maple candy under lock and key in some stores. So if you locking it up like that, it clearly is a commodity. So I'm really surprised that so many people got off with such a slap on the wrist.
Well, yeah. That is the Great Canadian Maple Syrup Heist, guys. Yes,
it is.
Well, thank you so much for listening to us. We truly appreciate your time and actually being here. We don't plan on taking many more weeks off until around June, right?
Yeah, it'll be quite a while before we have another break. Well, yeah. And then we're going to, if possible, we're going to start trying to double up episodes on the weeks
when we know a week is going to be missed. Yes.
So that you guys have plenty to listen to, because we don't like to leave you hanging.
Right. Yeah, but on that, we truly appreciate you guys for listening to us. Again, tell a friend. We enjoy being your background noise, and also we enjoy the engagements. And one last thing, don't forget, we do still have merch in which you can go and make purchases of said merch. And with that being said, we shall see you guys next week. Peace out.